Keys to Increase. And then from a subtitle, Navigating Through the Process of Not Enough to More Than Enough.
Amen.
I'm going to teach you today how you get through not enough to more than enough. How many of y'all want to live in an arena of more than enough?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. If you apply the teaching today, you're going to be able to receive it. Now, I want to, just for reference, from last week, because this teaching builds on the other, I taught you the faith concepts on understanding the purpose of the type. Is that right?
Amen.
And we learned that the tithe of any increase belongs to God. Say, my tithe,
my tithe
belongs to God.
Belongs to God.
It belongs to Him. You don't have to repeat that. But it belongs to Him because He has set it apart and called it holy unto Him. And so when you look at your life closely and you examine where there's not increase, if you go back and trace it, I can guarantee somewhere down the line you robbed God.
Come on.
If you obey God, blessings come.
That's right.
If you disobey God, cursings come.
That's right.
Am I right?
Amen.
And then we said that your tithe was directed by God to come into a local storehouse where you fellowship on a weekly basis and are taught the Word of God.
Amen.
And it was with this understanding that the church had a responsibility to take your tithe and disperse it in one of four ways. I taught this, right?
Amen.
We talked about missions. Some part of that tithe goes to missions to help people less fortunate than you. We said part of that tithe goes towards the financial portfolio of the church.
Amen.
The church should not have to depend on living week to week, but they should have some sort of financial portfolio, stocks, bonds, etc., etc., so that the Lord's money can gain increase.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then we said that part of that tithe goes towards the upbuilding and the upgrading of the sanctuary.
Amen.
We serve a first-class God, and God don't do nothing junky. Everything that God does is first class.
That's right.
And so when you come into the church, everything in the church should be first class.
Amen.
That's why we don't have no broken down seats. That's why the carpet is nice. The drums are, if y'all rolled in here, there was tape all over the drums and cords all over the place. They'll just be jacked up.
Amen.
So part of that tithe goes towards the increase and the upkeep of the church. And then the final part of it goes towards the priests and the staff that he has to help keep the temple running smoothly.
Amen.
And then I stated that if you are a believer, point to yourself and say, that's me.
That's me.
Connected to a local church, then you have a responsibility to tithe and support that church with your tithe and offering.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So today I'm going to teach you how to navigate through the process of not enough to more than enough.
Amen.
As you navigate through this process, you're going to encounter three stages. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The first stage is the blessing stage. Say the blessing stage.
The blessing stage.
Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and verse 2. And it's a good possibility, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And so it's a good possibility. That's not what the Bible says.
No,
it's a good chance.
No, sir. It shall.
Depending upon if all the factors are working together in your favor.
It shall.
Y'all Bible don't read like that, does it?
No, sir.
No,
it said, and it shall come to pass.
That's right.
If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, and all of these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So the first stage is blessings, and the blessing stage comes as a result of your obedience.
Amen.
In this stage, and this is where most of us are in the church, in this stage you will learn obedience to God through the release of your tithe and normally offerings that are, listen to me closely, requested of you. So you learn obedience from that. Most of us in this church, we're a relatively young church, but we have not tuned our ear to the Spirit of the Lord to hear what he will say for us to give unto the work of the ministry. Now, if we're in church, most of us will give if the pastor asks you to give it. I want everybody to give $20 today. So most people will follow that if they have $20. And this is the stage where you learn obedience, but it's strictly obedience to what's being spoken unto you. God wants you, listen to me closely, to learn obedience to his voice.
Amen.
Some of you, he's spoken to you when it's offering time, and he said, I want you to give $20. And you say, but God, I need cheese, I need bread, and I need gas money for next week. Y'all looking at me funny.
Right.
But you have to understand that if you're going to be blessed, you have to begin to tune your ear to the voice of God and what he's speaking to you. And so in this stage is known as the blessing stage, and the majority of the blessings come from obedience. And God says, it shall come to pass, if we hearken to his voice diligently, do all that he commands, these blessings shall come upon us. All right, I want you to say this faith confession with me. Say, I must be willing to obey God. Come on, let's say that again. I must be willing to obey God. All right, Pastor, how can I know if I'm operating in the blessing stage? You can know this when you obey God and your mindset begins to change. How can I know my mindset is changing? Three ways. Let's look at Psalms 24 and 1. That's why I asked you to bring your Bibles, because I want you to see what I'm ministering to you straight out of the Word. Psalms 24 and 1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they dwell therein. So the first way that you know your mindset is changing is that you begin to understand that everything belongs to God. Say this with me. Everything belongs to God. So you understand this in this stage, and you begin to approach God with a different mentality because you understand that everything in it already belongs to him. And there's nothing that he won't give you because it all belongs to him anyway. And I'm telling you, as you get in this stage and you begin to approach God concerning increase and concerning financial blessings, if you don't come into this revelation that everything belongs to God, you'll struggle when you go before it. Because you'll think the car that you're going after belongs to the car dealer. God made the car. He gave the idea to the automaker before it was manufactured. He owned the plant that built the car, owns the dealership that your car is sitting on, and has control of the man's heart that wants to sell it to you. Are you listening to me? God, I want a house. God owns the builder that made the plans to build the house, that made the architect to even put the neighborhood where you're looking at. And so if you don't start getting that in your mindset, you'll always have a mentality that I don't understand whether or not God wants to give me things. It's God's desire to give you whatever's in your heart. Am I doing all right? Now, so you understand that because you see your mind is changing and you understand that everything belongs to God. Second thing you understand in this stage, let's look at Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So second thing you understand is when your mindset changes is that you're God's child.
Amen.
First thing you understand is everything belongs to God. Second thing you understand is that I'm God's child. When you are a child of God, listen to me closely, God always gives preferential treatment to his children. It's just like all of us. Our children will always take priority over someone else's. How many of y'all, will your children go to a babysitter or you babysat kids before? And your children ask for something and the other child asks for something. Y'all looking at me funny again. Most of the time, we give preferential treatment to our own children.
That's right.
Am I right about that?
Amen.
So it's the same thing with God. You have to understand that you're his child. And that's why I stress to y'all the importance of getting in a real relationship with God. Because when you're not in a relationship with God, then you don't take priority with him. The only thing God is concerned about is you becoming in a right relationship with him. But when you're in right relationship standing with him, you take priority over somebody else that's not his child.
That's right.
Am I doing all right? I feel I'm teaching pretty good to y'all.
Yes, sir.
And we're just getting started here. Now listen to this. A good father always provides for his children, and his desire is to bless you.
Come on.
How many of y'all believe that? Say this with me. Say, I got a good daddy.
I got a good daddy.
Let's look at Matthew chapter number 7. I'm gonna prove it to you in the Word. You're a child of God, and his desire is to bless you because you belong to him. Matthew 7, verse number 9. Or what man of you there, or what man is there of you whom will of his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So when you become a child of God, you understand that his desire is to bless you.
Amen.
Because you are his child and you belong to him. God wants you to have the best. Hello.
Amen.
He wants you to drive the best.
That's right.
He wants you to live in the best.
Amen.
Look at the world. They don't even know God. Most people in the world drive better cars than us. And this is not a materialistic message, but I'm trying to bring you reality of what's going on.
That's right.
They live in better homes than us. They wear nicer clothes than us. And they don't even know God or care that God exists.
Amen.
Is something wrong with that picture or what?
Yes, sir.
We're shouting, we're sweating, we're loving God, we're being faithful, but we can't have the things we want. Why? Because our mindset hasn't changed. That's what I'm trying to teach to y'all. And I pray y'all are getting this.
Amen.
Your mindset has to change about who you are.
Amen.
If your mindset does not change, you will continue to have what you've always had.
That's right.
Because you don't understand the principles of how God operates.
Amen.
On my job, I have what's known as a key fob.
Amen.
When I go to my job, if I don't go through the main entrance, they have an employee entrance. And the key fob has a code that I swipe on the door. You understand me?
Amen.
As long, the man told me when I started the job, who was in charge of the security and administration, he said, Paul, as long as you swipe that card, the fob will recognize your code and the door will automatically open.
Come on, come on, come on.
It happens every time I go to work and I go through the employee entrance. I understand the principles and I get in the door.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you got a job working where I worked, and I tried to use your key to get in the door, it wouldn't work.
Come on.
Because I'm not operating in the principles. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to get you to understand is that if you're going to go to another level in God, you've got to understand how God works.
Yes.
Because if you don't understand how God works, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And I don't want you to keep getting what you're getting.
Amen. I know
this word.
Amen? Yes.
Now, let's look at the next one. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse number 15. Am I doing all right so far?
Amen.
We might hoop after a little while, but it probably won't be right away. Right now, we don't need hooping anyway. We need good, solid teaching.
Yes.
Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. Let's look at the last verse. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. The third thing that you must understand when your mindset changes is that you have the power to call those things which be not as though they were.
Amen.
And so when your mindset changes, you talk differently.
Amen.
You speak faith whether you see it or not. You know how many years my wife and I talked about an expedition?
Amen.
That was her dream truck. She talked about it. One day I'm going to drive an expedition. Every time she saw one, she said, that's going to be mine one day.
Amen.
Didn't have the money, didn't have the down payment, didn't have the means to afford the monthly note, but she was speaking faith.
Yes.
And so when your mindset changes, you understand that you have the power to call those things that aren't as though they are.
Yes.
If you keep saying, Lord Jesus, every time I get paid, I'm broke.
Come on.
Guess what happens? Every time you get paid, you're broke. Why are you broke? Because that's what you keep saying. The Bible does, I hope y'all are getting it. The Bible does not lie. Death and life is in the power of the tongue.
That's right.
If you speak death, that's what you're going to receive.
Amen.
Some of y'all looking at me strange, but it's really that easy. And if I can get you to understand to change your mindset, change your way of thinking, change your way of talking, and begin to monitor what's coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
Are you listening to me, church? Monitor what you're saying out of your mouth, because you are living what you're saying.
That's right.
You have the power within your own self to speak life or to speak death.
That's right.
This trifling joker don't play no child support. Guess what you're going to keep getting?
No child
support. I seem like I can't save no money. Guess what you're going to keep getting?
No money,
because you keep speaking it. Do y'all see this in the Bible?
Amen.
Calleth those things which be not as though they were. When your mindset changes, you begin to speak faith even when you don't see it.
Amen.
In my mind, I'm already preaching to 1,000 people.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Pastor, there's not 1,000 people here. Yeah, they are. You just can't see them. Every morning before I come to church, where any of you get here, I lay hands on every one of these pews and speak into empty seats.
Yes.
Because I believe God, and I'm calling those things which be not as though they are.
Yes.
It's the same principle in your personal life when it deals with finances and increase.
Amen.
You got to call those things as they're not as though they are. Are you going to continue to repeat the same cycle? And I don't want y'all doing that.
Yes, yes.
I want to see your increase changing. I want to see your financial portfolio changing. I want to see you being able to do what you've always wanted to do. But I can't lay hands on you. I can't give you $100 for you to get it. You've got to grab it yourself and begin to change the way that you think.
Amen.
Let's give God a hand clap of praise. You're talking about the blessing stage. I'm going to share some eye-opening things with y'all. In the blessing stage, you can still be broke.
Amen. Amen.
All of us in here right now are blessed. We don't have any diseases that we know about. We got clothes. We got flu. We got shelter. We're basically blessed.
Amen.
But in a sense, you can be blessed and still be broke.
Come on.
Because it's the first stage.
Amen.
God's desire is to bless everybody. And our mindset, watch this now, our mindset has always been, how can I be blessed? How can I get blessed versus how can I be a blessing? Blessed means I don't have my rent money. And so now I need a blessing.
Amen.
Am I making this clear?
Amen.
I don't have my car note come due on the 1st, so I need a blessing.
Uh-huh.
God, would you give me a blessing? Would you touch somebody's heart? Hello.
Amen.
So that they can bless me,
uh-huh,
and I can get what I need.
That's right.
Amen.
Bless stage. But when you are a blessing,
uh-huh,
you're the one that gives the money to the person that has the need.
Yes.
Why? Because you're blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
And if we would quit focusing our energy on trying to get blessed versus being a blessing, because church, it's the same faith.
Amen.
Oh Lord,
amen.
It's the same faith to believe God for the rent money, the same faith, and take that same faith and say, God calls me to be a blessing so I can pay off the apartment.
Come on.
Oh Jesus,
come on.
I don't know if y'all are getting this morning. Most Christians stay in the blessing stage because they do not know how to navigate through the process that I'm sharing with you today. Now let's look at the next stage. If you're in your notes, take your notes, write this down. In order to transition from the blessing stage to more than enough, you must become a giver.
Amen.
Let's look at Luke 6, 38.
Amen.
I hope y'all are getting this. That's why, church, I plead with you. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you just don't take this as a one-shot deal and you don't apply these principles.
Amen.
You got to get these tapes. You got to get these CDs. And you got to listen to them in your car. Listen to them when you're in the shower. Uh-huh. Listen to them over and over so you can start receiving these principles and move from one level of existence to the next level of existence.
Amen.
You're not going to get it on a one-time shot. It's my responsibility to minister it to you, but it's your responsibility to take it and begin to put it in your spirit so that you can receive it and be blessed.
Uh-huh.
Let's look at Luke 6:38. Look at this. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Most of us stop right there. But that's not where the scripture ends. Look at this. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again.
That's right.
Giving is a principle that's designed to work for the saint and the sinner.
Come on. Come on.
And in order for you to move from the blessing stage to more than enough, you've got to understand the power of giving. Write this down if you're taking notes. It is in this stage that you control the measure of blessings that you will receive.
Amen.
Let me give you an example. How many of y'all, all of your hands should go up, hopefully. How many of y'all washed up this morning?
Amen.
Pray the Lord. How many of y'all turned on the water?
Amen.
Did you not even think about it? Watch this. It was in your power as to determine how much water came out of the spigot.
That's right.
Oh, God, Pastor, this is real good. You had the choice whether you got hot water or whether you had cold water.
Amen.
That's right,
if you didn't have gas, then you had cold water. Y'all will get that next week. But when you turned on the spigot, you had control, Sister Cheryl, of how much water came out of the spigot.
That's right.
It was in your power. And so in the kingdom, it's the same way with your blessings.
That's right.
Moving from more to enough, you control how much God is going to release in your life based upon how much you give.
Come on.
That was a powerful revelation that 10 of y'all just missed. You control how much God brings back into your life based upon how much you give. Because Jesus said, if you give it, I'll give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosom, but I can only give it to you based upon the meat that you measure out.
Come on, that's good.
So if you give a dollar, guess what you're going to get? A dollar blessing. Because that's what you put into it.
That's right.
Am I doing all right?
Yes.
Now if you give a $20, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a $20 blessing. Because you gave based upon the meat, and God always measures the meat back out to you.
Uh-huh.
Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
You receive what you put back in. How many of y'all believe that?
Amen.
Some of y'all don't believe that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 6. Want everybody to get this. 2 Corinthians verse number 9. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 6. Let's do it like we're Baptists. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. But this I say, look at this. He which soweth sparingly shall also reap what?
Sparingly.
And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap what?
Bountifully.
So I just proved my point to you, saints, that your blessings are based solely upon what you put in.
That's right.
And in order, when your mindset starts changing, you start looking at your giving differently.
Right.
Most churches do not teach you these concepts because they do not put as much precedence on the offering as they should.
Come on.
And they don't teach you that if you just put in a dollar, then that's all you're going to get. Because the devil has spoiled the church into thinking that all of the money goes to the preacher.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. And what the church need money for? And why the pastor need to drive a nice car? Your supervisor drives a nice car. You don't ever say that.
Come on.
They interviewed Benny Hinn on CNN. They talked about his plane, his cars, his nice homes. But they didn't do that to Bill Gates. Y'all looking at me mighty funny. Bill Gates got the same nice things, but ain't nobody saying anything about that. Because nobody have taught these principles inside of the church. And so, in other words, you are going to get back what you give.
That's right.
If you are in here today and you're operating in more than enough, take a look at what you're giving.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to examine for a moment our attitude towards offering. When you come into the church, not all of us, do not even think about what we should give unto God for the work of the ministry. It's not even a thought for most of us. Why? Because of what we put in the plate. What you put in the plate determines whether or not you've thought about whether or not you want to be blessed. Y'all don't believe me, do you? Let me show you how your mindset is different. How many of you, when you go to the store to buy groceries, you need to buy groceries, make groceries, depending on what side of track you're from. You need to make groceries. Most of us is country in here, right? You normally go to the store with some money in the checking account.
Amen.
Because you know you need a certain amount of money to make happen what you need to make happen.
That's right.
When you pay your car note, you automatically know that I need a certain amount of monies to make this happen. Or else the note won't get paid. We think about things that have no relevance. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have cars, we shouldn't have life insurance, we shouldn't have all those things, but I am saying you've got to start thinking about what you're doing. Because if you can go to the mall, praise the Lord, Pastor, and you can spend $130 with no problem, but you can't put $100 in the offering plate, something's wrong with your mentality. And God says, I cannot bless you. Why? Because your thinking is off. Because when I give you more, guess what you're going to do with that? You're not going to help support the ministry. You're going to support the law. Y'all looking at me mighty funny. I got to show you in the word. Say, show me in the word, Pastor. Show me in the word, because I don't believe you. Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. I'm teaching you guys these things because over a period of years, my wife and I changed our mentality. And we stop looking at the offering time as a time where they're just collecting money.
Come on, Pastor.
We looked at that as the very opportunity for God to bless us 30, 60, and 100 fold. Y'all looking at me strange?
Come on.
Luke 6, 19. Look at this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where the moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So every time you go to the mall, and nothing is wrong with going to the mall, it's not a sin, you're not going to hell. I want you to understand that. But every time you invest your money in things that have no value, they waste away. Every time you go to a big dinner, God can't give you a harvest from that. Every time you go buy a nice pair of shoes, God can't give you a harvest from that. Every time you pay your car note, God cannot give you a harvest from that. Why? Because it's a treasure upon the earth that will rust and thieves can break through and steal it. How many of y'all have been to a funeral and you went to the grave site and there was a big U-Haul truck following the hearse? Never. Because you can't take none of this stuff with you. Why? Because it really has no value. So when you operate in the kingdom, under kingdom finances, you understand that I got to start putting my money in things that don't fade away.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Verse 20. Lay up for yourselves treasures in where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Amen.
You have got to look at what you are putting your money in.
Yes.
Because if you're putting, I say this all the time, all of us here got big tax returns. $3,000, $4,000, $5,000.
Come on.
Y'all looking at me funny again. Ain't nobody saying amen. Y'all still here? Hello. Hello. Y'all reading the Bible? You're praying in the spirit. Y'all must be interceding for Pastor. When you look at the bottom line of what you spent that money on, if the bottom line number balances out more in the world than it does in the church, you just invested in things that fade away.
Amen.
And I can guarantee if I had a meeting with most of us in here this morning and say, what'd you spend your money on? Well, Pastor, I got so-and-so, so-and-so. And you added up realistically how much you put in the kingdom. In a covenant church that is serious about ministry, serious about mission, serious about helping others, and I guarantee the numbers will be low. And God says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Church, if your hand is closed, God's hand is closed. And I want to stop the cycle where we just get blessed once a year. We can do better than that. Maybe y'all over here. I want to stop the cycle where you just get blessed once a year.
Amen.
Because God says, I can just trust you once a year with a large amount of money. Why? Because of where your treasure is. But when your heart is right with him and you have a heart to put your funds in the kingdom, God can give you checks like that once a week. Do y'all believe what I'm preaching to you in here? God can give you money like that once a week. Y'all know what? I'm believing God. This is probably going to scare some of you. But I'm believing God for a minimum of $10,000 a month in engagements. That's excluding my personal salary. y'all are looking at me funny. $10,000 a month, that's $120,000 a year in just in engagements. Now you break that down by the hour. I started preaching about 11:45. I finished here before 12:30. $2,500 an hour.
Come on. That's all.
Let me preach to this side over here. When you, I'm telling you, when your mindset is small, you just thinking about $6, $7, $8 an hour. God want to give you way more than that. But he can't do it when your heart is far from him.
That's right.
And you're not going to use the money to help fund the kingdom.
Amen.
You can rest assured that $10,000 is going to help do what we got to continue to do.
That's right. Amen.
But if your mindset is, God, gimme, 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 and I'm going to keep taking what you give me and putting it back in the world, then God can only bless you once a year. Because he can't trust you with increase. I want God to be able to trust every last one of you with increase.
Amen.
Y'all are looking at me mighty funny. How many of y'all are tired of being broke?
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with living off the government, but I don't want you to stay like that.
That's right.
When my wife and I were, you know, kids were small, we loved them food stamps. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a lifetime commitment to surviving off the government. Now we want to assist the government and say, well, instead of y'all pouring thousands and millions of dollars into these secular companies, pour it into the church so we can help change the mindset. But God can't bless you like that if your heart's not right and you'll take what he give you and put it right back in the world. You've got to keep it circulating in the church. Am I doing all right? When you move from the stage of giving, God will take you through the final stage, which is favor.
My Lord.
Yes, sir. Let's look at Luke 2:52, right next door. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're going to close there. I didn't get a whole lot of amens today. But y'all know what that means, right?
Right.
I got the right message. That's an indicator, Reverend Oliver, that when you don't get a whole lot of amens, that means you got the right message.
Right.
So you preach them all the time, huh? Listen to me closely. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Favor is the highest level of blessing that comes from God.
Yes.
It is where God gives you preferential treatment over somebody else.
Yes.
And it's usually not fair.
Yes.
Let me tell you why God gives you favor. Because he can trust you with that level of blessing.
Yes.
God can't bless some of us because he can't trust you with the blessing. Because if he gives it to you, you're going to tell everybody else and how they helped me get this, they helped me get that, and you won't even mention Jesus' name.
Come on.
Every time we ride in that truck, we talk about what God did.
Oh, that's
great. We talk about how God did that, God did this, God did that. Every time we move to another level, it's God did this, God did that. It's a testimony to the things of God.
That's right.
When we roll up next to the dope dealer that has a truck similar and he's jocking or doing whatever, we say, this is what the Lord can do.
Come on.
And my blessing is not temporary like yours is.
Come on.
Because sooner or later, the Bible said, First Lady read it, sooner or later you're going to get cut off anyway.
Come on.
But we have an eternal blessing.
Yes.
That even if we're not here, the seed can still be blessed.
Yes.
Why? Because we have the favor of God operating on our lives. When you have favor, God will bless you and not the person next to you.
Come on.
Because the favor of God is in operation.
Yes.
Let me show you how favor works. Can I show you how favor works? Most people think favor is, my daughter got a scholarship to go to college. Favor of God, Brother Warren. She got a scholarship. That ain't favor, that's a blessing. Let me tell you what favor is. Favor is when you got the money to send your daughter to college.
Amen.
But they give you a scholarship and say you keep your money in the That's favor. Y'all not talking to me in here. That is favor. Favor says, you know, Pastor, we're going to build this building for you, and we got the money to build the building. But we're going to let you borrow it and only pay, let you pay 0.25% interest.
Come on.
That's favor.
Yes.
Favor means you already have the resources at your disposal, but God says, look, you keep them so you can keep doing what you're doing at the next level, and I'm going to let somebody else take care of the ticket.
Yes, yes.
That's favor.
Yes.
And that's the type of level that I want y'all walking in.
Yes.
But you can't do that until you walk the other three and you learn to be obedient to God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Am I doing all right?
Yes.
I pray that this teaching, I have provoked you to thoroughly take a look at the way that you're giving. Because your next level of blessing depends upon you. Let me tell you this one more thing. Let me tell you how to think. The church asked for the members to participate in a faith pledge. God unctioned us to do that before the tax money came.
Come on.
Purposely, because most people will agree to something when they don't have it at their disposal. Hello. A lot of us have forgotten about what we agreed that we were going to do for God. Because our mindset has changed. Our mindset isn't changing. And we're too busy trying to put our money in things that are going to fade away. Man, let me wear some old stuff. Hello. And some tacky shoes and some tacky clothes. And take a seed and put it in the kingdom because it's going to multiply back 100-fold.
Yes.
You can buy one shoe now, but God want to have it to where you can buy 10 at one time.
Amen.
So which do you prefer? You prefer the one shoe now? Or you prefer to wait a little bit till God bless you to where you can buy whatever you want?
Amen.
We got to change the way we're thinking, church. Because the reality of it is, it's in the power of our hand to do it. And we're making a conscious decision. Every time we get paid, God's sitting up on the throne saying, man, Cheryl got paid today. This is not directed at you, just using an example. She got paid today. I'm going to see how she does. Oftentimes coming around, what's she going to put in the plate? I want to bless her. I want to be good to her. And if you just walk around and put a dollar in there, but you have the ability to do more. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
I'm not talking about when a dollar is all you have. There's a difference. When you have the ability to do more than what you're doing, and you're going to take the more and use it in the world.
Come on, come on.
Oh, y'all looking at me funny. You got $50 in your pocket. 30 of it you need for gas. That leaves 20 that you can put into the kingdom. But what do? We'll take the one or the two or the three. George come to church with more of us than any other president. I'm going to put a ban on George in the church. But every week, every month, God looks at you to see if are they ready for increase.
Yes.
And you answer him based upon what you do when offering time comes around. Mm-hmm. What I'm teaching to y'all, church, is not something that happens overnight.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and say you put in $50 and all your debt's going to get paid off because you didn't get in debt overnight.
That's right.
But I am saying if you walk these principles out and you change your way of thinking, God will begin to bless you at the next level. And I want everybody in this church to be blessed at the next level. I don't want you depending upon somebody to come pay your rent.
Amen.
Hello? I don't want you depending upon somebody to come pay your light bill or your car note. I want you to have the freedom to say, God, send me somebody I can be a blessing to.
Amen.
You understand the difference?
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Your word is God. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you just give us that track one more time, you may be in here today.